My kids enjoy having a hand in decorating our home. What that means is scraps of cardboard become signs throughout the house. There's a scrap of paper denoting the napping to be done in the bedroom. There's a scrap of paper asking if we enjoy coffee on the cabinet where I keep my coffee. There's a sign on their playroom that I refuse to let them take down that simply states, "No bad gas in." This was before my daughter knew how to spell guys, and it still amuses me every time I walk by. At the start of the pandemic, when I'd sit in our backyard in a daze after coming back from shopping and seeing the lines for paper towels, my son drew a strange XY-style graph with a green zigzag going up. "This," he declared, "is the news about the coronavirus. See, it's getting better." He had already brought tape with him, and he imperiously slapped it on the wall next to the door of my bedroom before I could even respond. I see it every day now, and I think about how he just wanted to help in the ways that he could. When I had the newest sign pushed into my hands, it was a stick figure with tears and a smaller stick figure inside a rectangle. On the bottom, using his sister's writing skills but signing his name himself, he had wanted to write, "Mama, this is your dad." Spoiler, my dad died 14 years ago. Taken aback, I asked him why he drew this, but he didn't have an answer. But my daughter took the chance to ask, "What do you think he would have wanted us to call him?" I told her I didn't know, and it made me sad. She nodded and they both scampered away. My son has been asking about death in small ways over the last few months. It's right on cue developmentally, but still hard to discuss, especially at the end of the day. He snuck in, right before bedtime, the classic, "What happens after we die?" I replied with, "Oh, there are a lot of thoughts about that. No one really knows for sure. To buy time," before I could conceive of a simple soliloquy about death for a 5-year-old audience. But he broke in with a, "Not even scientists?" "Not even them," I said. "What do you think happens?" "Nothing," he said, and he burrowed into his covers, ending the conversation. I realized I might need a bigger boat for Q&A on death, round 2. So I reached out to my friend, associate professor of early childhood education at the University of Nebraska, Dr. Marissa Macy. I covertly wanted to know how much I might be scarring my child, so I asked, "What are the ways that adults can make missteps in talking to their children about death?" "Children are resilient," Marissa said. Quote, "Ignoring their concerns or questions might be a misstep because having a responsive social environment from adults in their life, and maybe peers too, will help their social-emotional development. Children benefit from a responsive caregiver, someone they can go to with difficult questions. Children might have questions or want to talk about loss," end quote. But she also continued with a story of her own. Quote, "When my daughter was about 4, she faced death of her pet goldfish. She was confused at first. She had a lot of questions and concerns. Responding to her needs and creating a supportive space to talk was helpful for her. I wanted her to know that she could talk with me about anything that was bothering her," end quote. Sometimes I wonder if showing your hand as an adult who does not know all the things weakens your role as your child's barrier against the world. But then I think that showing your humanity in not knowing, in making mistakes, and being the person who will help them find the answers is just as valuable. I'm not interested in bedtime fables that preach a knowing. Instead, I prefer those that show life as it is, fragile, beautiful, and sometimes unknowable until we live it. From my so-called millennial life, I'm Cassie McClure.